It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're going to enjoy the study back in Malachi, and so please that you'd open your Bibles up to Malachi chapter 2. And while you're looking that up, I'd love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And if you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. We've got many studies, and we've got our plan of salvation, constitution, everything is there. I hope that you would take a look at it and enjoy it, learn from it, and come to know the Lord Jesus through it, please. Also, if you'd like to email us, our email address here is parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we are in the second chapter, chapter 2 of Malachi, and beginning to read with verse 11. Chapter 2 of Malachi, verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously. An abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant. Did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his word. Father, we thank and praise you that each and every day we can come to you, whether it be day or night. We can call upon you. As a believer, I have that precious opportunity of lifting up my needs and my wants and my worries. I can lift them to you, give them to you. It's such a blessing, dear Lord, to be able to do that, and do that at any time of the day or night, home or work or church or wherever a person might be. You are always in constant communication with us if we would choose to be. So, Father, I just thank you that we have the opportunity to come together and study your precious word. We need to look at this word, take this word to heart, because Judah and Israel had really failed you, as we have as well, Father. So please that you would forgive us, that we would repent and turn to you and walk each day. The repentance comes, the turning comes, first of all, by faith. We need to trust in you. We need to call upon you for our Savior. Your precious Spirit shows us our sinful nature, exposes us of who we are, and then shows us that sweet love that your Son Jesus has shown towards us, in that he died for us and took our sin away to give us life and bring us back into fellowship with you, dear Father. So please, not let anyone miss that opportunity. Just call upon you, trust you, and walk with you each and every day. Now, Father, I just thank you that we can come and enjoy this time. Speak to the hearts. Grow each and every one of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sad verses of Scripture. As we look through these verses, they are dealing with a serious, God is dealing through the prophet Malachi with a very serious problem that's come into the house of Israel. The Lord, through the prophet Malachi, divides it into kind of three sections here. He includes all three sections. Judah first. That's one of the tribes. If you're not familiar with the tribes, that's one of the tribes. And then it says, Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel. Israel is all 12 tribes. Now, when the land was divided, you had the northern tribe and the southern tribe, and it was called Judah, and the northern was called Israel. But I believe here that the Lord is specifically speaking of the tribe of Judah, and then of all the nation of Israel when he speaks of Israel. I don't believe here, because that doesn't, that took place back after Solomon. The land was divided, and then it went into captivity. And when it returned from captivity, that divided kingdom was no longer present. And so I believe here, which we're about 400 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that we're speaking specifically to Judah and to then the full nation of Israel. And then it continues, and in Jerusalem. And so it wasn't just that it was the outer areas. The sin that God is dealing with here is a sin that even comes all the way home and is committed in Jerusalem, the very place of the temple, the house of God, the place where they bring their sacrifices. And so what a horrible statement that we're dealing with here right up front with verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah, again, it calls her out specifically, hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved. He goes on to say what they've done. He hath married the daughter of a strange god. God made it very specific, very clear, that you were not to marry out of your family. And specifically, you were not to marry out among the Amorites, the Moabites, the Hivites, the Hittites, all those folks that lived around them. They were not to be wed with them. But worse than that, we're going to find that as they returned from captivity with their coveted bride, as the scripture calls them, the bride of their youth, they came back and left that bride for another woman that was out of their tribe, the Moabites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the, Jebusites. It was such a sad thing. They came back and saw these, what is termed as some beautiful young women, and the men began to dump their wives, divorce their wives, and live with this ungodly woman. Well, that's the concern, and that's the problem, and that's the reason the Lord said, stay within your family, within your tribe. Because if you intermarry with these others, and as Solomon himself did this, when they would bring custom of the day, they would come to honor Solomon, and they would listen to his great wisdom. They would bring gifts, and many times those gifts at that time would involve their daughter, for instance. Maybe they had a beautiful daughter, and they would give this daughter to be another wife for Solomon. Well, what happened to Solomon then, instead of Solomon leading them, not going along with that to start with, but then even with the fact of having that many wives, then bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But instead of that, whatever custom, whatever religion, whatever cult that these wives possessed when they came, many times he would build them their own place to worship. That was bad enough. But then we find in the end of Solomon's days that he not only built them, but he attended with them. So you see what happens, and it happens to us as well. When you come and you begin to turn away from the Word of God, and we have many places of worship today that are not places of worship that are concerning the Word of God. They're social places. They're activities of other than the study of God's Word and the study of the truth. They may read a few scripture. You may have a Bible study. But is it something, do you tend to spend more time in your quarterly than you do in your Bible? And if you are churched at all, you'll know what I'm talking about. There are denominations and companies put out study guides, and you'll read the study guide. Many times the study guide will have a cross-reference in it of a scripture verse, but few people open their Bibles to find that verse. They just read the comments of this man. No, come to know Jesus Christ. Open up his precious word and study his word and let the Holy Spirit teach you. Yes, we need to come to the local church and attend the local church, one that preaches the word of God, that preaches salvation, that stays in the word of God. And I remain upon the old King James. I have not changed because I want to have the truth before me. And so many of these versions today that you have, they are not the Word of God. And so if you don't have the Word of God, then it's been watered down. And when it's watered down, then the Spirit of God does not have the strength and the power. And so please that you understand that. And what has happened now here is the very same thing. Only problem is that these men continue to bring their offerings and sacrifices into the house of God. They don't see any problem with it. So let's kind of look at this just a little bit now, because it is today the divorce rate is totally out of control. And the reason is, there's one single reason, and that is that people will not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's the problem. You need to be born again. And if you and your wife or you and your husband, whoever is listening this morning, want to make your marriage work, then you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It begins there. put Christ, put the Lord Jesus in the center of your life, and all will be well. Doesn't mean you're not going to have some trouble, not going to have some questions, but as you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and your husband or your wife, whichever case it is, surrenders to Him, you will begin to have a wonderful relationship. So please, please, listen to the call of God today to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to see what's happened to Judah, happened to Israel. It's happening in Jerusalem. Judah hath dealt treacherously. An abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. You see, the Hittites, the Moabites, all the Ites that are there, they all worship. See, that's proof that there is a God. Because in our heart is that we worship someone or something. And all these tribes and all these peoples around the nation of Israel all worshiped other gods. So when these men married these other women, he married the daughter of a strange god. That's how the scripture refers to them. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this. You think you can continue to have fellowship and be around someone that is of not like faith? Deal with that all the time. One person saved, the other is not. Well, they'll get saved after we get married. Chances are very slim to none. You're not to be unequally yoked. You're to come, be bound together by the Word of God, by a holy God, because both of you are born again. Now, unless you're born again, unless both of you are saved, then the next question is, do you surrender to the Lord Jesus? Or do you trust in the Lord Jesus and then just kind of live your own way? And you say, well, they weren't really saved. I agree. Many times that's exactly right. They just said the words and went on. But many times they are saved, but they don't surrender. They keep their feet in the world, and they do not surrender to the Lord Jesus. The Lord is very clear about this. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this. And then he really makes a strong statement here. I don't care whether you're rich or whether you're a professor. I don't care whether you're in the tabernacle. I don't care where you're at. I'm going to cut you off. Because look at those words. Verse 12 of chapter 2. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master, the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offer an offering unto the Lord of hosts. You come into the temple, you offer your sacrifice, I'm going to cut you off. Because you can't do both. You can't offer a sacrifice and divorce your wife and come and be wed to a woman that is not saved and has another god as their god. You can't do that. I'm going to cut you off, the scripture says, the Lord says, unto these people. Verse 13, and this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that you regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. So sad. What's taking place here is we're talking about the wives. So we find here the weeping, the tears, the crying out, that is not the men coming, repenting for what they've done. This is the wives that is coming to the altar, coming before the Lord with tears and weeping because the husbands have left them. Let me read this. Verse 13. This have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and with weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. So you're coming to the altar. But also those that you have abandoned, that you have walked away from, that you have left, your covenant wife, the wife of your youth, we find them weeping and crying, and yet you still come to the altar with your offering and expect me to accept it? That's what's going on right now. Verse 14, yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, the wife of thy covenant? There's the connection. It was so commonplace that these men were just tired of the relationship. They were had left the will of God, even though they were still bringing their offerings. They had abandoned their wives, many cases their families, and went to live with this other woman that is ungodly. And the problem is that if the seed is going to continue to be holy, it cannot come with one person that's saved and one person that's lost. And that's what he's saying here. And there's the problem today, the problem in this world today, that if you get tired of a relationship, you just abandon it. You just walk away from it. Now, many times there are people that are very evil. They're very wicked. They're very ungodly. They refuse to be born again. And God has given the option of divorce. He has also given option just to leave that relationship, to get away from them for your safety and your spiritual life, because they are a very ungodly, very in their words, sometimes physically they're abusive. Whatever the case may be, it's very evident that there are times, and God knows the heart. But not because, okay, I see this woman over here, or I see this man over here, and you know, they look more attractive, they're nicer, they're this and that. So I'm tired of being the father. I'm tired of the burden of being responsible. I'm gonna go on and I'm gonna find this other, you see this other woman or this other man, and off you go. We have responsibilities. God expects us to, number one, when you marry, you marry someone of like faith, born again. You need to be saved. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ so you can put Jesus in the center of that relationship. These men were abandoning their wives. They were still offering sacrifice. They were still being religious. They were still coming to the temple and bringing their offerings and their sacrifices. And God, through Malachi here, is saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? I hear the tears and the weeping and the crying of your bride of your youth that you've abandoned. And yet you still come and think I'm going to accept this offering? Now, we've already been through the problem with the priests in Malachi, that they were accepting anything, whether it's lame or blind or whatever it was. But God here then goes from the complaining of the problem with the priests. He's coming, and he's saying, you expect me. He's not talking about that the priest is refusing this because of what you've done. He is saying very clearly that I am telling you that I will not accept that offering. It doesn't matter what man accepts. It matters what God accepts. And we're in a day and a time today that we don't even care what man think of us, or you know, we just have our own opinion. That's what we do. We need to get back to the place where we care what God thinks. What is our God thinks? Well, I don't believe any of that. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter if you believe it, because it is true. And there is going to be a day that you will die. You will leave this earth. You'll leave your body. Your soul is going to go into the place of torment. Your body's going to go into that grave and rot away. And then there's going to be another day. And that day is the day that you will stand before a righteous God, and he will condemn you to the lake of fire, not because you were a worse sinner than anybody else, but because you refused the love and the opportunity of salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus. That's the reason. Not because you're a murderer. Not because in this case here you left your wife for another woman. None of those things. All those things can be forgiven. But you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that paid the debt on the cross of Calvary for you. So please, trust in him today. Look to him today. Because we find exactly what's going on here. Ye say, wherefore? What's the problem? And that's the condition of the heart of man today. They're saying, what's the problem? The problem is that you have refused the Lord Jesus Christ. You have refused Jesus as your Savior. There's the problem. That's the sole problem. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him today, walk with him today, serve him today. And here, the problem is that they are going out and marrying someone that is not godly. They're marrying somebody that's ungodly. And the problem is that, you know, people don't realize today, what's the purpose of having children? The purpose that God has placed in our hearts to have children is for the purpose that I can teach my children about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do they listen? That's up to them. But it's my responsibility to teach them about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that they turn to him, they repent to him, they study the Word of God, they stay in the Word of God, and then when they get older and marry, it's the responsibility that then they marry a spouse, whether it's a young man or young lady, they marry a spouse that is saved, because you see, their purpose is to have their children, then bring their children in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today we have such divided families that usually it's just the mother or the father that takes the spiritual leadership, and the other is left out because they refuse to take the role that they're supposed to. Now, why do we have the children? Why do we teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ? So, number one, they can teach their children, yes, but also that they can save their generation. They need to take the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. And every generation has this remnant, these folks to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus. Are you doing that? But when you have a divided family, and that's what it's talking about here, your covenant bride, you have abandoned, and you have married a daughter of a strange God. And so what happens then to the next generation? That next generation does not proclaim the gospel. So fewer and fewer people are getting saved because they're not telling people how to be born again. Now, it's so important, my dear friend, that you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?